Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show podcast. Think of it like a magazine or a box of chocolates. You never know what you'll get. From politics to pop culture, healthcare to legal issues, it's all here. And my behind-the-wheel chats are personal observations created especially for you on podcast only. Enjoy.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Our next guest, author B. Janet Hibbs, who has a tremendous amount of initials after her name. She's a tremendously educated woman, beginning with Bryn Mawr, but actually... not beginning at Bryn Mawr, beginning right here, I believe, in Connecticut. It says Trinity University. Maybe it's a different Trinity. But then getting a PhD in Bryn Mawr, an MFT in family theory and psychology at Drexel. And since then, having a tremendous amount of certifications, licenses, accolades for her work as a psychologist, particularly as a family therapist. She's written a book called You're Not Done Yet, with parenting advice for parents who are challenged by or who want to have more insight and figure out, well, is there a right or wrong as our kids go past 18, 20, 25 in figuring out when we're supposed to dip in and dip out of their lives as parents. B. Janet Hibbs, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. I understand you go by B. Is that right?
Lisa, I go by B. Thanks for asking. And congratulations on being a new grandma.
That's great. Very exciting. Today is 7 weeks. Not that I'm not counting or anything.
Wow.
Today is 7 weeks. Yes, Abby is in the world, and I've been spending as much time as I humanly can with her. She's in the city. I'm here in Westport. But yeah. And I know that she smiles at me when I hold her. I have a picture of it. And I also tell her all the time, you'll appreciate this, B. I say to her, I'm your third person. That's what I tell her all the time. I'm your third person. She knows. She knows what that means.
Well,
there's her mommy and her daddy, and
great.
Then I'm her third person. I tell her that. My daughter cracks up. I'm your third person, Abby. I'm three. I'm number three. I'm your third person. So anyway, so I'm having a really good time. So B, tell us a little bit.
Yes.
You know, there was a movie with Matt McConaughey called Failure to Launch. My sister, Jill Zarin, who was a reality star, has just launched a pilot, and it was published in The Post. It's going to be a big deal. I watched the filming of it last week on an advice show that these two gals are giving for people that are like failing to launch and having issues about moving out of the nest. So this is a big conversation
right.
in America. And tell us about, from a psychological point of view, what are the healthy, well-adjusted stages toward adulthood? And then connect the dots back to parents.
Okay, thank you. The normal, there is a new normal. So we used to think of young adulthood as, you know, you're 18, you're going to get a job, go to college, do whatever you want to do. You're on your own, like, you know, have a good life. And young adults really, you know, often believe that that's what will happen with their children. Like, okay, our job's done. See ya. Like, good luck, you know. And it isn't done because the new developmental stage that's been recognized basically in all first world countries, but mostly just talked about, you know, in professional journals and that sort of thing, is called emerging adulthood.
It
is between the ages of, yeah, between the ages of 18 to 34. It isn't just happening in the U.S. It's happening in all first world countries that have the feature of prolonged education. So as many parents listening know, six is the new four. Kids don't usually finish up at college but in 4 years anymore. They often like pursue different interests. They change their majors. They take longer. And so part of what happens then is, one, they have more student debt, and two, and also, which isn't just because they go to school longer, it's also because tuition has risen 180% in the last 40 years. So that's a bit above the cost of living, wouldn't you say?
It's an appalling failure of our society.
I think colleges were slow to catch on, but now they're doing a better job at recognizing we have to offer something that is more of a public good and not just a kind of like, you know, a casino bet on like, well, maybe college will pay off, but who knows, which goes to the point that now fewer than half of Gen Z high schoolers are even considering a four-year college, which is really
B, I want you to repeat that. Yeah. I want you to take a pause. I want to know where the site is from that. And I want to know what we define as Gen Z. People born from what year to what year?
Gen Z are people born from 1996, you know, forward. I don't think they've defined the next generation. Maybe they haven't. I'm just not up on it. But it's 1996. So those kids are in their mid to late 20s now. And also, I would include what we include in the, if you look at the bracketing of what's emerging adulthood, it's 18 to 34. So who we're also talking about in the book is the youngest millennials who basically got caught in kind of the tsunami of all these changes. Those who were born in the like early 1990s. So it's affecting basically three generations, the parents of those young adults and then the young adult generations. So Gen Z, fewer than half of them are considering a four-year college. And my sources are everything from the Chronicle of Higher Education, because they keep really close track on the demographics of what's enrollment going to be. So it's a very reliable source, and their colleges are worried about it because it means, the demographic cliff is coming where they can no longer count on the same levels of enrollment.
Tell me a little bit about the curve, B, because I'm 64, and I graduated high school with the class of 77. I went to a public school. I went to a public school that today would be considered diverse. That's the euphemism for the fact that we were just a bunch of mixed kids from whatever. Okay.
Right.
And I was tracked because I was in the honor system. I was Miss Goody Goody. That was great for me. But it was great for me.
Okay.
But my sister wasn't. She was just as smart as I was, but not the student I was. And she was, you know, playing truant and having lunch at McDonald's all the time when she should have been in school. So that was a different time. But but here's the thing, and I remember this very distinctly. There were, let's say, top 10%, maybe 15-20%, were definitely going to a 4-year school. But there were a lot of kids who were figuring it out and who weren't necessarily, and maybe they were going to community college. Maybe they were working before going to school. Maybe they were going to a tech school. Maybe they were going into their parents' business. And there wasn't, at least this is my impression, it was always the golden thing to go to a good school. Don't get me wrong, especially in my aspiring immigrant community. But there wasn't the stigma if you didn't go to college, that your life was going to be over. In fact, we always felt for boys in particular that they were going to be late bloomers. Maybe they weren't good students, but they would end up becoming entrepreneurial and save the day in a different way. In other words, find American success without going to a 4-year school. So my question for you is, when did the bell curve change that we ever had over 50% going to a 4-year school? When did that happen?
That the highest So what happened is that in the Reagan presidency in the mid to late 80s, they came out with College for All as his push to get to really drive up enrollment. And enrollment from the 80s until about 2010 increased fourfold, four times the number of students went to colleges. And I can talk about that more later if you want, but four times the number, because this became the mantra that high schools would push, that parents would push, that everybody should go to college, which actually is not the case, because there are many paths to a successful life, you know, as you're saying, in terms of how people thought about it in your high school years. And colleges have now caught on to, like, maybe we could make it easier for students who want to start at a two-year college and see if that works. But the other thing, or tech school, or, hey, employers have made it easier, because what began to happen after the Great Recession, which is 2008 to 11, was called degree inflation, where you needed the employers, because they were shrinking their numbers of employees. They began to demand a college degree for jobs that you could have gotten with a high school diploma.
Interesting. Okay. I see.
So it became a complicated kind of reinforcing mess. And part of what's happened now is that people, and the other thing that happened pretty sadly, is that by the 1990s, by the early 1990s, families were largely footing the bill. Until then, like, the reason I have all these degrees, in addition to, like, I just like to study, is that it was funded. It was funded by the federal government. I had grants. I had some student loans. You know, you can't get away with that as many years as I went to graduate school. But nothing like, now you're going to eat ramen for the rest of your life and pay off your debt.
Right, which is so ridiculous. We're chatting with B. Janet Hibbs. The book is called You're Not Done Yet, Parenting Young Adults in an Age of Uncertainty. So did we make a mistake in this quest to get college for all? Or, in other words, did we swing the pendulum too far and leave too many people behind?
I think that the saddest proof of that, honestly, is what happens to, hold your breath, 40% of first-year students who've enrolled in community college have to drop out, largely to finances. Those do not come back. 25% of those who enroll in four-year colleges drop out in the first year. Most of them are not coming back. There are 40 million young adults now with some college credit and no credential, but a lot of debt.
And
so, yeah, I would call that a mistake.
That is a mistake. And we really should get into, because I'm very militant about this myself, I think we should get into the evil partnership, I'm calling it that, between these for-profit lending institutions and the student loan industry, and the 1-2 punch of making student loans non-dischargeable in bankruptcy. So I feel like there were forces at work to keep our indentured students indentured for way too long unreasonably.
I agree with you. I would want to just veer a little bit off to say that part of it is that the federal government, the local government, the state governments have dried up funding since the 1980s. So since they began the push for college to all, the funding went away, and yet parents and students felt enormous pressure to, like, you got to go to college. So we're undoing that to some degree, which I think is part a corrective. But, I mean, just to give you an example, in the European countries, in Canada, the first 2 years of college, which we call community college, are free, and they're funded by the federal government. And it really is a go find your what your calling is, whatever it is. They have more job to college credit employment, which is beginning to happen with certain named universities. So we devote a chapter to this in our book because I think it's so important, the education to employment link, because it affects all kinds of things in terms of the stumbling blocks that young adults run into, and then the distress and the financial responsibility that parents feel to kind of backstop their young adults it's not all about finances. I will tell you that the most important thing that parents can do is to learn to effectively communicate with their young adult, to offer emotional support as much as they can. And then if their young adult is truly stalled, to provide and help them locate professional and effective treatment, because there's a skyrocketing number of young adults. Their rates of anxiety and depression are high, are twice as high as those of teenagers, which we hear all about, which is understandable and good because they're not good in teenagers either. But what we don't usually pay attention to is they're pretty much as bad for the parents of these young adults.
Okay, so
the anxiety is off the chart.
So B Janet Hibbs, can you stay with us? We're here on live radio. We've got to come back. 203-333-9422. The book is called You're Not Done Yet. We'll be right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Back. You're Not Done Yet, Parenting Young Adults in an Age of Uncertainty. B. Janet Hibbs, who has many credentials in the area, wrote a book about this. We understand now from ages 18 to 34, we're talking emerging. What's the word you call it, B? Emerging?
Emerging adulthood.
Emerging adulthood. When do we ever get to be grown-ups? I feel like Peter Pan. I should be singing the song, I Won't Grow Up.
Well, so part of why they, why this, you know, came to be accepted as a new developmental stage among most of the professionals talking about it in the first world countries is that it was universal. It was across countries, and it often had to do with the economies of those countries, and it had to do with the economies really required higher educational skills in order to kind of sneak into the hourglass economy where you want to do as well as you can and not be in the bottom half of that hourglass. And it also, it basically, and the people in that stage doesn't mean that they're not achieving some adult milestones, which might be the typical traditional ones are finish and complete your college education or just your education. Maybe it's a tech education. Establish your job or your career path. Become independent financially. Commit to a partner, maybe have a family, have kids. All those things used to happen very much in a very linear fashion when parents were growing up in their 20s. And for young adults now, it's not linear, it's scattered, it's bumpier. And so we're alerting young adults and parents to this, both so they can take a breath and not be so worried, but also to recognize that all of the uncertainties create a lot of anxiety, both in themselves and also in their young adults.
And so tell us a little bit about this emotional support component. You know, I just watched When Harry Met Sally over the weekend. And if you haven't seen it, Bea, I hadn't seen it from start to finish in years.
Oh, I've seen it. It's great.
It's great. But you have to see it again because it really holds up. It really holds up.
Yeah.
Not every movie does. And, of course, it's the story of a friendship. But in a lot of ways, it's reminding me of this conversation because it's the story of these two kids who meet, making their way after college, and how they have a bumpy road towards love and career and all of that, but mostly love and When Harry Met Sally. And and it's very endearing. And it's full of the worries and anxieties. She has, you know, she's very worried. She's 30 and she's not married yet. And she's, and this is in the 1980s, and she's worried. Her biological clock is tick, tick, ticking. So, And that's a reality a lot of women face. So tell us about the emotional support piece for parents. Talk to us as parents.
Parents can, in brief, learn effective communication by leading with being positive, being brief, because young adults want their parents to listen much more than they lecture or give advice. Label as your parent your own specific concerns so the adult understands where you're coming from, but offer them an understanding statement about what you did not know or recognize in terms of how their lives would roll out in the way they have. Accept some partial responsibility if you have a difficult conversation that doesn't go well because, you know, it takes two to tango. Catch your defensiveness, especially. But then above and beyond this, like, offer to help. And most young adults say that they have felt closer to at least one parent following the COVID pandemic because they needed each other. They were there for each other. So it's partly learning effective communication. It's partly, but part of what parents need to understand is that the majority of young adults in this age group, they feel like they lack some purpose or direction. They have financial worries. They feel achievement pressures to get it just right because they're scared about making a mistake because they've been in a pressured situation for years, being told the world is really hard and it's competitive, which is true. And they also feel that the perception of the world is unraveling with the social and political issues. But unlike, you know, Harry Met Sally, they're lonely. They don't have a group of friends after college, unless they went locally, or after high school, unless they stay locally. They don't have that built-in group. So parents become the primary safety net for some time until they find, whether it's their work group or their fun interest group, but it's bumpy.
So how do you begin the conversation, Bea? Do you begin it by saying, you're not alone? I've been doing research and study. This is the new normal. Does that take away some of the stigma and personal responsibility or blame from the conversation from the get-go?
I think it helps students and young adults and their parents to basically say, tell me about it. What's it like for you? Because the world really has changed. So first ask your young adult to explain it to you because they will feel like you're listening and you're not just telling them advice. And then, yes, absolutely, offer a statement of understanding. Here's what I understand. Like, what don't I get, you know, that you're going through? If you have concerns, like, gee, it seems like you're on your screen all the time, be very specific and ask them if they're concerned about that, too. Sometimes they'll just tell you no. But also offer to help, you know, because a lot of young adults, the overwhelming majority, they really ask their parents for advice about jobs, about careers, about, as your daughter might have, raising children if they have them by that age. And also less often they talk to their parents about their mental health struggles. So to the extent that parents can say, this runs in the family, or, you know, Uncle so-and-so, or, hey, I have struggled with anxiety too. Normalize what you can without, like, you know, giving them a bright side, but you'll get over it. You'll get through it because kids don't necessarily feel they will. They haven't had enough life experience to know what they'll get through.
Yeah. Okay, B, I understand you're running to the next thing. We're chatting with B. Janet Hibbs. You're not done yet. I mean, I didn't want you to be done yet. We had a few more minutes, but that's okay. I understand. The book is called Parenting Young Adults in an Age of Uncertainty. We'd love to have you back on. I think you're a wealth of information on this subject, and I really would like you to consider coming back on the show. This is an important conversation.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you, Lisa. Great fun.
Great fun for me, too. B. Janet Hibbs on The Lisa Wexler Show.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends. And as always, feel free to contact me at Lisa@lisawexler.com.